Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, 104.5 The Zone's non-stop sports talk continues with a look at Nashville's teams and at news around the nation from the lead writer of 104.5thezone.com. This is
The Big Six.
The Big Six with Jason Martin. Presented by Renter's Warehouse.
And here we go.
Straight up, 6 o'clock by my watch means it's time for the one and only Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us. Blessed to have you as a part of my audience. My name is Jason Martin. You can follow me on Twitter at JMartZone. Well, there's some news, finally. And I hope you enjoyed your July 4th weekend. Hope you spent it with friends and family. Hope this finds you and yours doing well. I am blessed beyond measure, all reasonable and otherwise. I hope you recognize that you are as well. My DM's always wide open at JMartZone for a faith-based conversation. If not me, hope you find somebody in your life that you trust. Couldn't be more important to have that talk, and certainly to have it now. Kawhi Leonard joins the LA Clippers. 4 years, $142 million. He does not come alone. He comes with Paul George. And that was, look, there were earthquakes on Thursday and Friday that were pretty severe in California. And then there was just kind of a seismic level event in terms of something we were sitting here waiting to see. Why was it taking so long for Kawhi Leonard to make this decision? The conspiracy theorists are out to say, well, he was trying to screw over the Lakers. He was never intending on going there. That's not the case. Kawhi Leonard took time, not because he didn't know what he wanted to do, but because he wanted Paul George, and he wanted to give them opportunities, them meaning the LA Clippers. He said, look, I will come there, but I need Paul George. So I'm going to give you added time. I'm going to give you extended time to get the job done and get Paul George there. If you can make that happen, I'm yours. And I should have stuck by my guns, quite frankly, because originally, what was it that I said on this very program and others? Kawhi Leonard will be a Clipper. But I can't take credit for that now, because since then, I've said everything else, because I listen to the prognosticators, the predictors, the experts, the sources, everybody that seemed to know something about an enigma unlike anything we've seen in the NBA. Nobody knows how this guy works. Paul George came out of completely nowhere. Even Paul George said, his representative said, you know, Kawhi and I aren't really friends. He just kind of called him and said, let's go do this together. He grabbed a guy that's really similar to himself, meaning Kawhi went and grabbed somebody similar to himself, another great two-way player, a wing in Paul George that's an exquisite defender and was an MVP candidate last year for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he can score 30 on a given night as well. And so you think about the defense for the Clippers on the perimeter in particular. You've got Leonard, the best, maybe the best defender in the league. I mean, Gobert, and there's some other guys on the list, but I would take Kawhi Leonard because of the versatility and how many positions he's capable of guarding. Paul George, who is an outstanding defender, one of the better two-way players in the league, and Patrick Beverley, a true irritant if ever there was one, and a tenacious defender. Who exactly is going to be able to score on them? Like, what point guard is going to have the answer to be able to split Kawhi, PG, and Patrick Beverley? This team looks like it has the makings of, well, a co-favorite, and that's what the Vegas sportsbooks did. They installed the Clippers almost immediately, along with the Lakers, and made them basically co-favorites. And I think that that's fair. The Clippers had no choice but to make this move. You have to go get Kawhi Leonard if you have the opportunity and you're the Clippers. They had to give up a ton in order to get this done. And when we come back in the next segment, I'm going to explain why, although some people are upset with Oklahoma City fans hate the fact that they let Paul George go and they want Sam Presti's head for it. You've got to think this thing through a little bit more. But while everyone is busy piling on the Los Angeles Lakers, who did what they could after the fact, Danny Green, Boogie Cousins, I don't know about that one, but Danny Green's a good signing. Jared Dudley at 33, I don't think so. Quinn Cook is a sneaky, decent signing. Rondo, not really a surprise that he would end up back there. Almost all the other point guards that you could use in that spot aren't going to be available now. They were already taken away during the wait for Kawhi. But I'm not going to sit here and pile on the Lakers. There's plenty of ways to do that, though. You can talk about how Kawhi wanted to talk to Magic, and Magic Johnson had just left the Lakers in a very bad way, where it seemed like there were hurt feelings. And you have to wonder what Magic Johnson actually told Kawhi Leonard, and whether or not involving him in the process was a huge mistake on everybody's part. Now, Kawhi was going to do his due diligence, because quietly he knew what he was doing here. Not trying to submarine the Lakers, but he was going to make sure he made the right basketball decision. Last week I talked about how Kevin Durant's decision to go to Brooklyn, to me, was based on him chasing happiness, which means he's chasing something that's futile, because you can't actually find something in that mode. He tried to win championships, thought that would make him happy. It didn't. He was already making a ton of money. Money wasn't making him happy. Now he wants to try and play with his friends, so he's going to go with Kyrie Irving and take less money again so that they can also get DeAndre Jordan. And that's another one of his favorite guys, one of his best friends in the world. And he's going to find he's not happy there either. He's also ditched 35 to wear number 7 with the Nets whenever he gets back out onto the floor, which should be a season from now. He won't be in this year's league, obviously, as he's coming back from the ruptured Achilles. And the chances he comes back being anywhere close to what he was before ain't great, quite frankly. But this is not about the LA Lakers. Maybe we'll touch later on why it seems like so many guys superstar level don't want to play with LeBron James at this stage. But this is about one guy in Kawhi Leonard who looked and surveyed a situation and made a decision based on the one thing that we do know he cares about, and that's basketball and winning games. Remember his quote to Doris Burke during the NBA Finals? I don't play for stats. I don't play for money. I don't play for accolades. I play to win. I don't play for the fans. Remember that? And then he gets quiet after he says that because his robot brain stops and realizes what he actually just said. But he doesn't correct the record or apologize. He just says, I play to win. And when he did, he's a 2-time NBA champion, 1 in each conference, beat defending champions both times out. So it really was effective on all fronts. And thus, this was the move that made the most sense, because the one that never made sense was him going to LA. This is about Kawhi Leonard. It's about one guy that no one could read. But we should have been able to read from the beginning that it made no sense for him to go to the Lakers, because he didn't want to be Chris Bosh. He didn't want to be Kevin Love. And he didn't want to be part of a traveling circus. And whether or not LeBron said, hey, I'll be the third option. And that was the pitch. LeBron said, I'll be the third option. There'll be 2 other guys. It'll be you and it'll be Anthony Davis's team. And I will just facilitate. Whether or not that was the case is irrelevant to the larger point, which is because his name is LeBron James, he can say he's the third option, but he's the one everyone is going to be paying attention to. And thus that becomes maybe the biggest issue of all, the biggest problem of all. Is LeBron soaks up so much oxygen and so much carbon dioxide that Kawhi Leonard didn't want any part of that. And I think he made the right decision to go to the other LA team. First off, it's great for the league. Remember I discussed elite level parity with you last week, and I ran down about a dozen teams that had duos. And I saw Peter Burns, ESPN, and I wish I had come up with this first, but I saw this yesterday. He said, I like this new NBA Jam version of the NBA, where you have these pairs of superstars. And that's basically what I said, but I forgot that NBA Jam was built off the 2-on-2. But you have a lot of hope in a lot of places. Yes, the Clippers are the favorites, and the Lakers are the co-favorites. But there are some other strong teams out there that can make claims. But Kawhi Leonard, when he looked at this, you did see the story that he also thought about staying in Toronto, and the Raptors were considering acquiring Paul George and Russell Westbrook, trading Siakam and anything else they could find to make that happen to keep Kawhi there. But they did not have the asset package for Oklahoma City that the Clippers did. The Clippers had a king's ransom. They had this mother load that they could offer, And truthfully, that's what Oklahoma City was going to command in this situation. So that's why Toronto lost him. And you can't be upset if you're a Toronto Raptors fan, because I can't imagine you expected you were going to keep him when you first got him. This was a mercenary signing. And isn't it hilarious that when Kawhi Leonard went to Toronto, the hope was, if you're a Toronto Raptors fan or if somebody that was in favor of this trade, the hope was that you could make Kawhi Leonard into Paul George and convince him to stay, even though everybody thought he was going to go to L.A., and he ended up not even taking a meeting with the Lakers. Fast forward 1 year after that narrative was making the rounds, and it's Paul George that's leaving with Kawhi Leonard, and it turns out they are both the same guy. And after Kawhi went and won an NBA championship, he wants to go home. And how can you be upset about that? And he doesn't go to join LeBron and Anthony Davis. He is a guy that wants to be a trailblazer, not a Portland trailblazer. He wants to be a trailblazer in life. He's an assassin. He doesn't want to join an established super team and be part of that. He wants to lead one. He wants to spearhead one. And so he calls up Paul George, and he makes it happen. They make whatever conversations they do, and then Paul George goes to Oklahoma City, and he says, I want to be traded. And at that point, you have no choice if you're Oklahoma City, because right now you actually have leverage. And so when we come back, I will talk about that leverage, and we'll go into it just a little bit more from the Oklahoma City standpoint. But Paul George ultimately did what everybody thought he was going to do when Oklahoma City got him. They thought, okay, this is a one-year rental for the Thunder to see what they can pull off. They're going to do this in Carmelo. Spectacular disaster there. Carmelo didn't work. But Paul George liked it there, so he stayed an extra season. But I think Paul George recognized a couple of things. One, well, Kawhi's asking me to go. Kawhi has championship experience. If I want to win, I get to do that. I also get to go back to L.A. I want to go back home. Both of them want to go play at home. So both of them are going to go play at home. And they're going to go play at a team that has not seen a conference finals appearance in 49 years. And they're immediately going to go in, and they have a good roster of guys that are hungry and experienced and tenacious, and a fantastic championship-level coach that's already won a championship in Boston with Doc Rivers. And they go into a perfect scenario where they can make history. They don't go join history. They go make history. Kawhi's not going to go be a third option. Kawhi is the best player in the NBA, bar none. I've said that before. I'll say it again right now. Best two-way player in the league. It didn't make sense for him to go to L.A. It made sense for him to either stay in Toronto. I had taken the Clippers out of it because I looked at the roster and thought, well, there's just not enough here. And who's the other superstar? Little did I know Kawhi Leonard was behind the scenes orchestrating whatever he needed to recruit Paul George to join him. Okay, now it makes sense. Now you've got yet another duo. This one probably makes the Clippers the favorite. Actually, not probably. It does make the LA Clippers the favorites to win the NBA. But if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder and the fans that were upset about that move, I will explain when we come back what it means to have a window of leverage and not to let it go. And I also want to talk about this from the Clippers' perspective. How did they have the assets with which to make this move? It's because they cut bait with somebody, just the same way the Charlotte Hornets just finished doing with Kemba Walker. We'll be right back. This is the Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. So. Welcome back, Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Jason Martin on Twitter at JMartZone. You can always follow me there. We're brought to you by Renters Warehouse, dedicated to putting homeowners on the path to financial freedom through rent estate, renting your home without having to do the hard stuff. Renters Warehouse, the rent estate company. So Kawhi Leonard's the big story. I know the U.S. Women's National Team won the World Cup yesterday, and I think the biggest compliment I can pay to them, and maybe I'll talk about them in the final segment, biggest compliment I can pay to them is I expected this, so I don't really have that much to say. I mean, congratulations to them. They're awesome. But the compliment here is it didn't move the needle for me because it's exactly what I anticipated them doing. If they really want to be seen, and they've said a lot of stuff over this tournament about sexism and equal pay and discrimination and everything else, I'm not going to discriminate. I didn't watch the match. I was at church, and then I was doing some other things. I didn't watch it, but I expected them to win, and they did. And I think that that's awesome because they're fantastic. That's pretty much all I've got, though. Kawhi Leonard being the story. I wanted to talk about this from Oklahoma City's perspective. Because, you know, on my show, on the Fox Sports Radio show, Jason Martin show Sunday morning, I had people calling from Oklahoma last night, and they were just hopping mad, upset about it, and saying, how can Sam Presti do this? One of them actually said the league should have stopped this the way David Stern stopped the Chris Paul trade. It's like, you can't just take Paul George from us. He's really good. Look, I know they're upset and they're hurt because Paul George is an MVP candidate. But what choice did the Thunder have? The last time a superstar player for them went to their front office and said, you know, I'm probably going to leave, or there's a chance I'm going to leave, and they didn't do anything about it. He went to the Golden State Warriors, and they got nothing in return, and that was Kevin Durant. You can't get burned like that twice. Paul George, after Kawhi Leonard sold him on the idea of let's go play with the LA Clippers and let's go win championships, they had an incredibly small amount of leverage with a window that you have to take advantage of. So they got, I mean, we've never seen a heist. I mean, heist is a wrong word. A haul is a better word that the Thunder got in this deal. All of those first-round picks, two of them that they had acquired from Miami, meaning the Clippers, two or three from the Clippers themselves. They also got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had a really good rookie season and is a very solid young player. Danilo Gallinari, still a guy that can contribute for you as well. What else were they going to do? Here's what they had to think. They had to know that the Clippers weren't coming to get Paul George alone. They already figured this out. Paul George probably even told them. So if I'm Sam Presti of the Oklahoma City Thunder, I basically tell the Clippers, like, oh, okay, you guys want Kawhi Leonard, but the key to Kawhi Leonard is here in Oklahoma City. And so if you want Kawhi Leonard, then you've got to get Paul George. And so here's what Oklahoma City did. They had the opportunity to basically trade the package of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to the Clippers, even though Kawhi Leonard didn't play for them, because they all knew, both parties knew, that Kawhi was not going to play for the Clippers if Paul George wasn't a part of the deal. And so the Thunder were basically able to also get value from Kawhi Leonard, who was in Toronto at the time. Because the Clippers knew a couple of things. One, if you saw the story, they did not want to see a super team for the Lakers in town, so they felt they had to do this. And they knew the Toronto deal was out there, the Siakam deal, and Toronto was trying to find assets, whatever it was going to take, to get Russell Westbrook and Paul George up to Toronto to join Kawhi Leonard and keep him there long term. The Clippers felt they had to do this. And they're right. They're the B team. It's always going to be a Lakers city. When you have an opportunity to get two superstars, you go do it. I know Lob City didn't work out. You drafted Blake Griffin. I thought he was overrated when he came into the league. I still think he's overrated now. Chris Paul, good move, but it didn't end up working out ultimately. This is different. Kawhi Leonard's won two titles already. Paul George, right there on the cusp of an MVP season. Now, there's some question marks for this team in that both of the guys, Kawhi and PG, have missed an entire season before because of pretty significant injuries. But this is a risk you have to take if you're that franchise at that time. And Oklahoma City, you can't sit on Paul George because the first second he gets a chance, he's going to leave. He stayed an extra year. He signed a deal. You did have the rights to him, but right here you had the opportunity to actually trade on the margins of Kawhi Leonard in addition to your own guy, who was basically telling you, I want out of here, because an opportunity arose that no one expected. And when I mean no one, I mean all of us. None of us expected this. And how did the Clippers have these assets? Well, Kawhi wanted a second superstar with the Clippers. Blake Griffin was there a few years ago, but they let him go. They didn't pay him, and they let Detroit go ahead and snag him. They let Tobias Harris go. They freed up, they got some picks in return, and they had a ton of first-round capital as a result of that. And this is why I have said that what Charlotte did makes all the sense in the world, because what the Clippers recognized was that Blake Griffin was only going to win them 45 games a year or so when he was healthy. He was an injury risk, but he was also a guy you couldn't build around in terms of a championship piece. He could be a number two guy, but he was never going to be a number one guy. So do you want to revel in mediocrity and just roll around in it forever? or do you actually just want a rebuild? Do you want to bottom out or have the opportunity to do that? Then go get a Lou Williams and a Montrezl Harrell and a Maurice Harkless. So whoever it is that you're trying to acquire, if you're the Clippers, you gained the ability and freedom to do that by not overpaying a guy that was never going to win you a title. What was Kemba Walker going to win Charlotte? He wasn't going to win him anything. Now, Terry Rozier comes there, and Terry Rozier is not a lottery pick. I can't remember who it was that said that this weekend, but they were wrong. He was not lottery pick material. Who was it? I think it was Michael Jordan actually said that Terry Rozier would be a lottery pick now if everyone was drafting today. That is false. Terry Rozier is a nice little player. I mean, nobody's going to come see him play, and it's going to be a very thin year for the Hornets. Could be a couple of thin years. But what exactly were they accomplishing with Kemba Walker other than being the ninth or tenth best team in the East on a pretty consistent basis? Kemba ain't winning you a championship. If he goes as part of some deal with some other superstars, maybe. I don't think Boston's that answer, although we'll see if he's more fun to play around and we see kind of a resurgence from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And maybe even Hayward can wake up. But I just feel like that injury was tough for him to come back from. He's not going to be the same player again. But it could have just taken him an extra season. But sometimes you have to be willing to bottom out. Because just because a dude is an all-star doesn't mean that he's going to take you to the promised land. And this is my argument about Marcus Mariota here in Nashville. Marcus Mariota's potential is still pretty strong. And there are a lot of people that still want to believe in him. But he's just good enough to make sure that it's difficult to replace him because you're not quite high enough in the draft to get a top quarterback without having to give up the farm for it. So how long does Cincinnati want to stand behind Andy Dalton? How long does whoever he's playing for want to stick behind Tyrod Taylor? And how long can Nashville afford to stick behind Marcus Mariota, winning you 8 or 9 games and being just good enough, but not quite good enough? And so the Clippers bargained that Kawhi Leonard wasn't going to see star potential in Blake Griffin. And I think they're right. I don't think he goes there if Blake Griffin is there. They would have had the money. They'd have had around $44 million. They could have brought him in, but they would not have had the capital. They would not have been able to put some of the guys around him. And I don't think that Kawhi looks at that roster with Blake Griffin and says, yep, that's where I want to go to win a title. Even though he's taking guys that haven't done it in the postseason. We just saw it in Toronto. He's taking guys to the promised land that way. That's not how Kawhi Leonard works. Kawhi Leonard wanted Paul George, period. Zach Lowe wrote that in his article at ESPN.com because he said it doesn't matter how much cap space you created, doesn't matter how many draft picks you had, doesn't matter how you restructured this contract, doesn't matter who's coaching. Kawhi Leonard ultimately wanted Paul George, and that was the only way he was going to get the job done. And the way that they were able to get that done is to have the capital. And so they had the forethought a few years ago to know Blake Griffin's not winning us a title. So even though we like him, even though he sells tickets for us, we ultimately are in this business to win championships. We're not winning titles with this dude. And so they let him go. And that left them with the flexibility that led to Paul George and now has led to Kawhi Leonard. And now you do have a championship contender. In fact, you've got a championship front runner, which is incredibly impressive. And Kawhi Leonard made it happen. He recruited Paul George. The Clippers made the right decision. What you cannot do, I don't care what sport it is, NFL, it does not matter if you overpay a great quarterback because you can't overpay a great quarterback. Russell Wilson wants money, you pay him. Aaron Rodgers wants money, you pay him. Roethlisberger, even right now, wants money, you pay him. Patrick Mahomes, what he's going to command is ridiculous, and you better pay him, Kansas City. You would be foolish not to. What franchises do that destroys them is overpaying for not the guy. Overpaying for guys that have potential but have not shown it yet. Meaning Marcus Mariota or Derek Carr or Jameis Winston or guys that just have not quite proven enough yet. You have to know who to, quote, overpay, unquote. Because you're not overpaying them if they end up turning around and winning you a championship. But Blake Griffin, you can overpay a Blake Griffin. And guess what? You can overpay a Kyrie Irving. And ultimately, the Nets may have done that. Although, if you had to get him to get Kevin Durant, I can understand it. Kemba Walker, Boston probably overpaid for him. We'll see. But the Clippers were able to do what they just did because they did not pay the wrong guy a few years ago. And they accepted a true rebuild. And it worked. And it's something that a lot of franchises in sports should probably look at and emulate. It doesn't matter how big a superstar he is in your market if he's not winning you a championship. Either you want to do this for titles or you just want to sell tickets. Which is it? I think the answer in most cases is the same. And you're ultimately going to sell a whole lot of tickets when you're winning championships. And the Clippers have a real good look at starting to do just that almost immediately. We'll be right back. This is the Big Six on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back here on this Monday night in the Music City. This is the Big Six on 104.5 The Zone. My name is Jason Martin. You can follow me on Twitter at JMartZone. A lot of you already doing that. A lot of NBA tonight, quite frankly, because Kawhi was the story of the weekend. Finally making that decision. I wake up Saturday morning to it. Happened at like 2 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood in the middle of the night, on the day where everything could become official. It happened as well. And I think that there are a couple of different other takeaways from this. One, how do you feel if you're the Indiana Pacers right now? The Indiana Pacers drafted Kawhi Leonard and traded him for George Hill. And had Paul George at the same time. They could have had this in 2010. They could have had Kawhi and Paul George that first year. And now they're going to watch the Clippers potentially win the NBA championship or certainly be one of the two favorites to do so. Right now, I think they're 3-1 and the Lakers are 4-1. According to the last odds that I saw, that's going to smart, even though I think Indiana's going to be a pretty decent team. But the other takeaway is LeBron James, all of a sudden, does not have the everybody wants to play with me feel anymore. Kawhi doesn't want to play with him. Paul George didn't take a meeting with the Lakers last year, even though it seemed that was the worst kept secret in the league that he wanted to go to L.A. But he doesn't go there. The one guy that LeBron James was actually able to get was Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, who also uses Rich Paul and Clutch Sports as his agent. So that one had extra stuff behind it. But he was brought there was LeBron James to try and assemble a super team. He went there thinking he was going to be able to do that. And it felt like it was close. But it never added up to me why Kawhi would want to go there. Everything about LeBron James is the opposite of Kawhi Leonard. It's antithetical to everything we think we know, at least, about this guy that maybe we don't know at all. This decision being drawn out, I said last week that it sure felt like he liked the attention, even though, oh, he doesn't like the attention, he doesn't like the circus. Well, why is he not making a decision? Well, it turns out he was waiting on the Clippers. He was giving them an opportunity to do what he needed them to do to, I guess, that was the green light for him at that moment to go ahead and make that move. So maybe it wasn't all about the attention. He was making a basketball decision. He was looking at it and saying, okay, who do I want to play with and whose game complements mine the best? That defense for the Clippers, I just don't know what you're supposed to do against those guys. I mean, the reason they're the title favorites is because in addition to that just absurd D, Kawhi can get you 30. Paul George can get you 30. Lou Williams can come off the bench and get you 30. You got a lot of guys that can score, and you're not going to be able to score against them. That, to me, is the biggest difference. When you look at the Lakers, the one thing that you can say about this LeBron team is, I mean, they did get what they could. They scrambled. They had to. This is what happens when you put your eggs all in one basket. Because as you were watching that one basket, a bunch of other baskets got swiped by other teams. Whether it was Seth Curry or other guards that you could have used. Maybe you could have made that move and gotten D'Angelo Russell. And he doesn't end up in Golden State where he'll be traded probably sooner rather than later. But the unsung guy that I am very curious to watch for the Lakers this year is definitely going to be Kyle Kuzma. Because Kuzma, around the talent of Anthony Davis and LeBron James, could flourish. And around the basketball IQ of LeBron James for another season, and the IQ of a Rajon Rondo, and just Anthony Davis's raw talent, I think Kuzma could become a superstar-level player. He's a perfect number three guy to me. Kawhi was not. Kawhi's the number one guy. He's an alpha dog. You want to get Kyrie, he's a number two. You could literally sit here and name like 30 or 40 guys and tell me, all right, is this a number one or a number two? And I could tell you. And some of the guys you've mentioned, I would probably say, they're number three. Because you can't win a championship. If you can't win a championship around, that guy is the centerpiece and he's not a number one. But he can be a good second banana. That's what Kyrie Irving was. And I think that's why this thing in Brooklyn could work if Kevin Durant is anywhere close to what he was before the injury. And that is a big time if, because what he's not going to be able to do anymore is go down the painted area and yam on people. He's not going to be able to get to his spots nearly as effectively. What he is still going to be able to do is shoot. And he's an elite shooter. So that could help him. But I don't know how he's going to play defense. And I don't know how his body is going to hold up. He's already had a Jones fracture and now a ruptured Achilles. Jones fracture usually ends a career. It can. It's an incredibly difficult thing to come back from. And then on the flip side, the ruptured Achilles, we're seeing right now, the Lakers went and grabbed Boogie Cousins. Did you see him in the NBA Finals? Because I did. He wanted to play hard, and I really respected the effort that he gave. But he can't run. He lumbers down the floor. He ambles down the floor. He tries, but he just can't move anymore. And he can't jump anymore. So he can't go up and get those rebounds. He's not nearly as explosive. He wasn't particularly fast to begin with, but now he is downright slow. He's like an offensive lineman on the field. No offense to offensive linemen, but I'm talking about in comparison to a running back or a wide receiver or a skill position player, a DB. So I don't know what he gives you. Did you see the trade market for DeMarcus Cousins? Me either, because it didn't exist. He barely was able to stay on the floor for Golden State. He tried, it didn't work, and there was no market for him. No one wanted him. That story about the Knicks offering him big money, I don't think so. I don't think that ended up being true at all, and nobody else was trying to get him either. And why would you? What does he offer you? I think Danny Green and Quinn Cook might be the two best ones of these kind of pickups they took at the last second. They bring back Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That'll be fine. JaVale McGee is JaVale McGee. He'll do some good things. He'll do some boneheaded things. I don't know if he makes you that much better, but he's not going to hurt you. You still got Lance Stephenson. I don't know what he offers you anymore. Rondo can be trouble, but Rondo can also be a wizard when it comes to vision. And not having to babysit Lonzo Ball, who's in a much better situation in his own right in New Orleans, perhaps that works out for all parties involved. So I still think the Lakers did the best job that they could at the last second. I don't know why Magic Johnson was part of this. I don't know if that harmed this situation, but it couldn't possibly have helped. I don't know if Magic tried to sell Kawhi on going to the Lakers or the opposite. Because if Kawhi watched the news and paid attention to anything that was going on, or got advice from Uncle Dennis or anybody else in his inner circle that he actually listens to, he would have heard about the turmoil. He would have heard about the First Take interview that Magic Johnson did, where he buried Rob Pelinka 6 feet under, and where he went after Jeannie Buss, and the way that Magic Johnson left, and then the way that he basically became someone free to tamper without consequence, couldn't be officially part of negotiations, but Kawhi Leonard wanted to talk to him, so he could talk to him. If he wants to tweet about somebody that plays for another team, Magic Johnson can now do that. But what did Magic tell Kawhi? We may never know. But that probably wasn't good for the LA Lakers when you really think about it. Because Magic feels jaded. Magic's bigger, I think, maybe than the Lakers organization in a lot of ways. He's still one of the most recognizable celebrities in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. A-list celebrities care more about Magic Johnson than they do other A-list celebrities and entertainers. I've said before that NBA players are basically superheroes because even Hollywood A-listers go to NBA games to be seen, but also to marvel at the skills, and no pun intended with marvel, the skills that we just don't see anywhere else. These dudes are out there without helmets on. We see everything, every little emotion that goes through them, and you're watching Jack Nicholson courtside for every game, and you're watching Billy Crystal at Clippers games, and you're watching all of these celebrities, and Beyonce and Jay-Z. Everybody wants to be close to the NBA because these guys are our superheroes. Pro athletes as a whole are our superheroes, but NBA stars are the celebrities of all celebrities in sports. It goes NBA players, NFL quarterbacks, college football coaches. Maybe coaches over NFL quarterbacks. It's close. In some states, Nick Saban's by far the most powerful person in the state of Alabama. Dabo Swinney's by far the most powerful person in the state of South Carolina. The big issue for Penn State and the state of Pennsylvania was that Joe Paterno was so recognizable and so beloved throughout that state that it caused problems. Urban Meyer was far bigger than Governor John Kasich was in Ohio. So those things are all out there. But these celebrities and the way that everything plays out, Magic Johnson, I don't know if that was good at all. If I was the Lakers organization and I heard Kawhi was talking to Magic, that would have made me very nervous from the get-go. And once we saw Kawhi's plane leave Los Angeles and go back to Toronto, it felt like the Lakers were out of this thing. I don't think he was going to fly back and say, I'm going to the Lakers. He would have stayed there. They would have figured something else out. Or we wouldn't have known about that flight. Something about that rang like, oh, well, the Lakers are out of this. And maybe they weren't. But it appears like Kawhi knew what he wanted to do all along, and that was go to the Clippers. But he knew that if he went there, he wanted to win titles. And to win titles, he needed a second superstar. And so whatever was necessary to get a Paul George, that's the guy he targeted. That's the guy he looked at the league and he said, this guy I can coexist with, this guy I can thrive with, this guy I can make better and he can make me better. And we can go and we can wreck shop in this league. And let's go do it in LA where I know he'll want to go too. We both want to go home, but neither one of us wants to play around LeBron James because Kawhi had his opportunity and Paul George had his opportunity last year to go to L.A. and play with LeBron James. He did not even take a meeting with the Purple and Gold before he re-signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if you want one thing about Oklahoma City, Paul George was ready to get out of there. Is that because he was tired of Russell Westbrook or because Billy Donovan's in over his head and probably should have been let go last year? The Thunder have had Scott Brooks and Billy Donovan as their coaches for Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, and now, of course, Paul George. They've also had Carmelo Anthony. They've got Steven Adams. I think Scott Brooks was a good, not great coach. I think Billy Donovan is a college coach masquerading as an NBA coach, and it has never worked. I'm not saying that's why Paul George left, but I think Paul George saw last year with Russell Westbrook, he was an MVP candidate, and Russell Westbrook gave him the ball a lot. It was not selfish Russ most of the time. Paul George was the primary option on the team. PG could look at that situation and say, we've taken this about as far as we can take it with Russ on the other side of the floor. Kawhi Leonard's won two championships, and he wants me to go to the city that I love, where I grew up, and he wants me to play basketball there with him. Tough call, but I think I'll do it. One more segment to go. We'll be right back to talk more sports here on 104.5 The Zone. Final segment on this Monday, Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. Jason Martin, your host on Twitter at JMartZone. Blessed beyond measure, all reasonable and otherwise. Hope you recognize you are as well. You can always hit me up for a faith-based conversation. My DMs are open on Twitter for that very purpose. So I talked about in the second segment, Blake Griffin and the fact that the Clippers let him go. And before I go further, let me remind you we're brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, dedicated to helping homeowners become rent estate investors by renting their homes instead of selling. Renter's Warehouse, the rent estate company. The Clippers figured out they weren't going to win a title with Blake Griffin there. Once Chris Paul left, okay, that window is shut. So we're going to go ahead and rebuild. We're going to let Blake Griffin go. And I think that's what Charlotte just did with Kemba Walker. They weren't going to pay him the Supermax. They weren't going to pay him that $221 million for making one of the All-NBA teams. He's not worth that because they weren't winning anything that mattered in the postseason. He's probably the best player in franchise history, but that doesn't necessarily... It doesn't matter if you're the best player in franchise history if you're not winning championships. You still can't overpay a guy that's not ultimately going to do that. How many tickets was he really going to sell? It's going to be a bad year, but you sometimes have to bottom out in order to hopefully find the elite guy. The Zion Williamson, who I know he doesn't come around very often, but to have a better chance, a higher percentage in the lottery, to get one of those top picks. That's what you need if you're the Charlotte Hornets right now. And so now we look to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Paul George is gone, and question marks now surround Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, who spent all of his 11 years in Oklahoma City, but they just get five future first-round draft picks in this deal that sent Paul George to the Clippers. They get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, an all-rookie point guard, and then they get Danilo Gallinari, who's not bad. He's a scoring threat, too, and they could move him as well. But you've got Miami, you've got Detroit, and you've got the Houston Rockets, all three, real interested in Russell Westbrook. And that is the thing. Because what I said about Blake Griffin and what we just said about Kemba Walker, Russell Westbrook is 30 years old. He could not win a championship with Kevin Durant and James Harden around him. Couldn't win one with Paul George around him. As good an individual player as he is this it? If you're Oklahoma City, do you use these assets and go grab another superstar to pair with him, or do you say, you know what? We might actually have to let this dude go. We might have to let him go to Miami. Maybe he can play with Jimmy Butler down there. Or if Houston really wants to try and make that work, goodness gracious, can you imagine Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Chris Paul all on the same team? I don't think so. I think if Russ goes there, Chris Paul is almost assuredly gone. But if you're Oklahoma City, do you want to continue with Russell Westbrook? Do you want to just put him out there with the ultimate green light this season, say, go score 60 a game, make it interesting, break all these sorts of records, because there's not going to be anybody else there this year. I mean, I love Steven Adams, but I mean, Steven Adams is, in terms of an offensive threat, Russ can go out there and score 60 a game. And maybe that's what you want to do, but if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder and you look at what the Clippers were just able to do, and you look at the draft picks that you just acquired, 5 future first-round picks, 3 from the Clippers, 2 from the Heat, that the Clippers also possessed, some of them unprotected, and some that have swaps attached to them in case you don't like their positioning. You have the opportunity for a true rebuild. You don't know who you're going to be able to get with these first-round picks, but you're going to have some serious opportunities here. Not to mention, if you're bad, then you're going to have your opportunities as well on your own picks. Russell Westbrook, probably not going to win a championship with that guy, right? If we have come to that conclusion, is it time to part ways with him? Oklahoma City didn't let him go along with Paul George to Toronto because Toronto didn't have the assets to give him, but they did give Paul George up to the Clippers. Giving him up for future picks tells me that Oklahoma City felt like they had taken this core as far as they could. They had to get what they could then. And you had no better opportunity to move Paul George for a ton of money than when you also basically packaged him with Kawhi Leonard and said, you want Kawhi, you got to take PG. And we have PG. So basically that means we also control Kawhi Leonard in this case. So if I'm Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook is a box office guy, no question about that. But have we already seen the best of him, and do we know he is not going to win a championship there? If you couldn't win it with the guys they've already had, who is it that you're going to pair with him? Giannis in a couple of years? Do you think Giannis is going to Oklahoma City? I don't. If he doesn't stay in Milwaukee, I've heard the Knicks, but you will never get me to believe a superstar is going to the Knicks again, even though I think Durant may have gone there had it not been for the injury. But in this scenario, if you're Oklahoma City, I think not only do you have to explore trading Russell Westbrook this summer, which is exactly what we're seeing reports that that's exactly what's happening, I think you've got to move him. I think you've got to go ahead and bottom out and rebuild. You gave this thing a run. You got to the finals with him, but you didn't win with him. And that was the finals where you also had an MVP in James Harden and another MVP in Kevin Durant. And now you just had an MVP candidate in Paul George with him. Couldn't win there either. Couldn't even win a playoff series, basically. There. And Paul George is gone. So you're cutting bait there and saying, okay, well, we've got to get what we can. So we got a heist here. We got as many picks as anyone's ever gotten for somebody in this scenario because Kawhi was attached to it. But Russell Westbrook, he's not going to win us the championship. Ain't it time to move him too? While there's still a lot of value left in him as a superstar level player? I think that's what the Thunder are probably about to do. I don't know if Russ wants out or if he wants to stay there and try to make this thing work. But this feels like it's a lost cause. And I've mentioned windows being open and closed several times during the course of this program tonight. This window is shut. So you move Westbrook now. He's 30. You can still get a lot for him. Maybe you can get another superstar for him. I don't know that. Or you just get super young. You let Shai Gilgeous-Alexander continue to grow. He was an all-rookie player last year. And then you start to just build in the draft. You try to become the Golden State Warriors. You try to draft well. And then bring some people back home later on. Get some free agents. Whatever it might take. But the Westbrook experiment seems like we have reached its end. This show, we've reached its end. But we will be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, kids. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. God bless, and good night.